Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Marty Hawk, good afternoon. How are you?
I am fine. It is absolutely perfect inside the house because the air conditioning is running just fine. I'm grateful for that.
Well, that's good to hear, because when it gets a little stuffy like it was, oh, I don't know. When did the big storm roll through town? Was that Monday night? Or is that
Tuesday? You know,
Tuesday? I don't
see,
know.
It wasn't last night, so
no, it wasn't.
It would have
it
had
nice
to have been
night.
Monday night,
there
right?
There you go. And hopefully everybody...
And trees down, and oh, what a mess. And remember... That's when our highway workers are out there, because they have to get out there and get those trees out of the road. So it isn't like as if they get time off and they don't have that to worry about just because it's whatever day or whatever.
Or not business hours, right.
Time of day. Yes, they are on duty 24/7, and very grateful for the people there, because that's dangerous business in itself, because there could be wires down or whatever. So anyway, they were out trying to get things cleared off, and people were without internet for a while, without electricity for a while. So we had a real mess on our hands, but everybody survived it as far as I know. So.
Yep, so far so good. And I think yesterday when we checked, there was just less than 100 people without power. That was from the Duke side of things. I'm not sure what the other side was. But that, if one has a little, hopefully the other has a little, and we get things rolling in the right direction. Today is the first day of school, Marty, and it's all virtual at the MCCSE. So we hope everybody has their power on. RBB will start on Monday and do all that. But before we worry about school getting back to normal, we've got plenty of other things to worry about. We have budgets coming up. We have fire departments trying to merge and do other sorts of things. Tell us where we're going here on a Wednesday afternoon.
Oh, right. I mean, this really is a busy, busy time for us. As you all know, I talk with you every week, so you know there's something going on. County Council's the year-round. But this is especially true now, because we're supposed to have had all those budgets turned in to the council office. For whatever reason, some of them were not turned in time. But the county commissioners are required to come to the county council to give their recommendation at this first meeting in August. And they did that to give a recommendation having to do with any salary increases. And they recommended that it would be in a range between 2.3 and 3.3. The reason why they are stating that range is that the state has already declared that 3.3 is what we have to pay the salaries of the ones that the state controls. We pay the salaries, but they control what the people make, and that's our tied to what the sheriff, what the judges make, even though we don't pay the judge's salary. We pay all the prosecutor. I mean, we pay all the others that are tied to that
so
salary
increase. They tell you what to pay or tell you how to increase it, but they don't pay it. They just suggest.
No, they don't. They don't pay. For instance, we pay the probation officers, and they tell us, the state tells us, this is what you have to pay those probation officers.
Okay, I follow you now.
And it's our, we have to come up with the money somehow. Now, what we can do when they say, okay, you have to pay them so much, they can't say, in order to make your budget work, we may not be able to have as many as what we've had in the past. And I'm not saying that it will happen. I know that's the way a lot of counties have had to do that, is in order to cover the raises required by the state, they've had to say less people in order to make the salaries work. But and then the way they came up with what they are suggesting for the other county employees is they're going by the reports that we've used in the past, saying this is what the estimated cost of living
Is there a pecking order in this, Marty? Who gets it first if it comes down to we don't have enough, or does everybody get it?
Well, here's the question. Is it all being, are we going to even be able to do the, any kind of a race? Of course, we have to do the ones the state tells us. We don't have a choice. We have to do that. But then as far as any other cost of living raises, those are things that we have to look, what does our budget allow our revenue? What does it allow us to do? And remember, if you increase someone's salaries, then that's not just for next year, but for 22 and 23, when we expect our revenues to not to be as stable as they are going to be for next year.
And is there a possibility of freezing the salaries? Is that a choice, or do you just...
It will all be at the county.
Okay.
The responsibility of the county council, and it's no one else's, is they are the ones that set the salaries and the number of employees. We're the ones who put together all the job classifications and so forth. And that's what we're in the midst of trying to decide, if we're going to get those job classifications changed around. But one of the things that I questioned the county commissioners when they made this presentation yesterday was, what were they thinking about raises? Because every year the county commissioners, and I shouldn't say all of them, but certainly the commissioner's president, has indicated that she believed that they are working full-time. They need to get paid a full-time salary, just like any of the other elected officials. And it appears that that amount of a raise that they will be asking for is $25,000 apiece. Now, that's a pretty big chunk of a raise. And so when we have to look at the total budgets...
Yeah, that's a raise. That's $25,000 annually, not just one time, but bonus.
Right. No, that's annual on top of what they're already making. So the total salary would be about $60,000. So I'm not saying they won't get it. They just might. I don't know. It will be up to the county council as to whether or not they think that is appropriate. But it certainly was a question that, you know, I ask every year, because they put it in there every year. And so I'm always saying, hey, you know, what is it they want this year? They were supposed to have turned that in before the first of the month. It didn't get turned in until, I think that was yesterday, maybe the day before. And so they were late in getting it turned in. But we need to make sure that we understand what the requests are, because if you have one group of elected officials asking for a great big raise, you can better believe that, I mean, this is, everybody knows what everybody's doing. You know, there's no secrets in county government. So the other elected officials will also expect to see some kind of raise. Will the assessor, or the recorder, the treasurer, the auditor, or the clerk? So you just can't do just one in a vacuum. It all has to work in together. And in the meantime, we don't even have the contract back for our agreed upon with our sheriff's deputies. And that's something that has to happen in order for us to figure out how we're going to budget for the sheriff's department, because that's been worked on with the people from the sheriff's department since the first of the year. It was back and forth. I mean, before, I should say, at least before we had a virus situation coming up. So I asked where that was, where we were on that, and when we were going to get an answer about the negotiations, that contract. And the response was that it's been sent off to the consultant to look at the contract with the sheriff's deputies.
Okay.
Which I found that rather curious, but at least we find out it's setting someplace. It's moving forward, hopefully. So we need all those numbers to be able to come up with a budget.
You better just add more money to your budget, because it doesn't seem like the pandemic's slowing down anybody's wishes, wants, or desires. So let's make sure we get this all put in now, so in a couple of years we have everything covered. Then we can just not worry about it. That seems to be the philosophy. Let's get paid now, And then in a couple of years when this, or a year from now or 2 years from now when this slows down, we'll have everything taken care of, and then we can relax and not demand any more money. That's how it sounds,
well,
correct?
I just don't see how that works that
Me
way.
Me neither. I don't think, because
I've been looking at budgets.
Life
for
doesn't
how many
stop.
Years now?
Services don't
now,
stop.
I like looking at budgets, but you know, I've said this over and over again. If you don't like working with budgets, don't run for county council.
Amen.
Because that's all we're supposed to be doing. We have some people, some members of the public think our only job is just to listen to them complain to us. No, I mean, if they come to us and they want to speak about a certain budget and whether or not they support it or not, and we're getting ready to vote on an appropriation, that's when they have the opportunity to speak. Now, one thing they are going to do different this year, during our budget work sessions, what we normally call budget hearings, they're going to have 1 hour in advance of any of the deliberations on these budgets. They're going to have 1 hour the first day of those budget hearings for anything that they want to speak. The public wants to come to talk to us about any of the budgets. And so they have to be there and ready to speak by 4 o'clock on the 8th. For our first budget session, and there will be only 1 hour for everyone to have any comments that they want to make about anything on the proposed budgets that we'll be voting on, and then we will begin our regular budget session hearings. They're really called work sessions. So
right.
Everybody put that down, because they have a lot of people who want to come and express their concern. Now, one of the things we know we're going to have to be watching for is, of course, this merger of the Monroe County Fire District, because that's a big budget that's going to be very different for next year than anything we've looked at, because they're merging all these fire departments together. And so I've asked to have some special work sessions in advance of all the others. Let's sit down and talk about this, understand what's being proposed, make sure we understand it, make sure the public understands it, make sure we understand what the tax changes might be for the people paying for these services, and get all that worked out, because, you know, this is our first go around of making sure these merger budgets work correctly. And so we want to make sure we get off on the right foot. And there, the people at the fire district's working very hard to get us all the documents that we might need so that we can fully understand what it is that we are working together.
And Marty, help us out here, because 4 or 5 years ago, we didn't have all this movement and mergers and doing this, that, and the other thing. What led to all this, and how did we get to this point?
Well, I can remember several
years
ago. I know.
That's why I asked you. I know you'll know the answer to this question.
Mike Cornman from the Elsa Fire Department came to speak to us, and it might have been about the same time that we put together the public safety tax, right around in there. And he was saying that the expenses to run a fire department is going up and up and up, and that there was going to have to be something done in order to try to address the expenses and the additional charges that it was going to take to run a fire department. And so I believe that was about the same time when they were talking about whether or not to come together as a county or what all they were trying to do. There was a lot of different legislative movements going on at the state, giving people the opportunity to have a fire district or a fire territory, or the big hubbub when there was a fire territory put together, and then all of a sudden the people of Washington Township said, oh, this is not the taxes we thought it was going to be, and so forth.
We go from territories to townships to mergers to, it's not easy to follow.
Right. It really is not. And the county does not have a mechanism, the county government does not have a mechanism to provide dollars for fire protection, because the legislation says it's up to the townships, the rural townships, to provide fire protection. So
that doesn't sound like it's a good idea.
And so then you've got all of the different townships who've either had contracted with another group or they've had volunteer groups. And so they determined they would start working together and try to figure out which groups could work together.
So, Marty, by law, you cannot have a Monroe County Fire Department.
No. You could call it the Monroe County Fire District, but it's not. The only way it's a part of county government is that we are required as a county council to, we are the ones who vote on the budgets. I mean, they can vote on it to what they're going to present to us, just like the Solid Waste District, but it is up to the county council to look at that budget, to understand it, and to make adjustments if we feel like it is necessary. So that's just where we are on it. It's not, it's a huge, huge responsibility, and I'm grateful that that fire district has putting the numbers together for us and willing to meet with us several times in advance. So that they've already had a lot of separate meetings out there with the public, but that doesn't mean that the people actually voting on the budget, that is the county council, have the understanding of how this works. So they're going to be bringing it to us. We're going to be having a special meeting on the 25th, which is our work session, and they'll be coming there for that. But we're also going to be, some of us will be meeting with them in advance of that as well, so that we'll just have a better understanding of how all this comes together. And I'm sure we'll have a lot more to be talking about as time moves on, having to do with that. The Solid Waste District, of course, we have the binding authority on the Solid Waste District as well. And they have a special meeting that that on Thursday at 4 o'clock, they'll be going over their budgets, but also a proposal by Rumkey to have a separate facility, a recycling facility, I believe is the way they worded it. And so look for information on that as that either moves forward or it doesn't. So it will be up to people to vote on this, to say yes, this is whether or not they believe this is something that should happen. So, that's just one more thing that we will have to look at. This is a very important time of the year for people who serve on the county council, because it is time for us to fully understand how the dollars work together and which ones we can use where, so that we can pull it all together. Last night we voted on what might have seemed like a lot of money for a kettle for the jail. But this is one of those great big commercial things that they fix huge amounts, like 500 scrambled eggs at once, or that kind of thing. And it is their heavy workload. They keep that kettle going all the time for all of these big meals that they have to fix for everybody in that jail system. So that their kitchen's not an ordinary pots and pans type of kitchen. It's like, as you know, you've been around facilities with large kitchens.
Absolutely.
In the past.
Well, you got a lot of customers. You need big things to cook.
Right, and I mean, we even had people coming out saying, complaining that we would spend money at the jail for this kind of equipment. It just makes you want to shake your head and go, where are these people coming from? They can't just not take care of the people who are incarcerated.
That's exactly right.
You have to do everything you can to be able to treat people appropriately. So, at any rate, we, of course, went ahead and approved that, as we should have done. Now, the other thing that we'll be looking forward to is what's going to happen with this budget that the committee of the committee, having to do with the split of the money from the income tax for the fire departments, the city still has to vote on that, because that wasn't a final vote. It was just a committee vote. And so town of Ellisville still has to vote on it. The county council has to vote on it. Or if they just have the city vote on it and they get enough votes, then the others won't have to act. But once again, I've said I just don't understand why the person representing Ellisville would turn down an opportunity for Ellisville to end up with literally about $10,000 more. Might not seem like a lot of money when you're talking about some of these major budgets, but $10,000 for their fire department is a considerable amount.
Especially when they're moving to getting a new place, it looks like. The story in the HT, Ellisville Fire Department to get a boost from new warehouse.
Okay. Got that. Right.
Yeah, I didn't phrase that very nicely, that was a town council, not the county council, so that's a...
Right. Well, I thought, well, now we're surely not going to go. I mean, we have a new fire station, but right, I know what you're talking about. Okay, but at any rate, this is why it's important for everybody to come together, because all of our budgets affect the others. If one raises their levy a great deal higher, that gives them the ability to pull in more of the income tax money out of the same pot of money. So everything we do can affect all of the other budgets.
And that's why you have to watch all of them, just not the ones you like or the ones you feel like you have to watch all the dominoes because Jenga pieces. You pull one out, the whole thing falls down.
Absolutely, and you cannot listen to those voices who just scream the loudest, because what we're required to do is look at the budgets and look at the budgets that we're required to cover, and certainly I can't believe any reasonable thinking person would believe we shouldn't cover the operational cost of a jail our sheriff's department or whatever.
That doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. But you've been busy. You're going to stay busy. And if people want to get involved with the budget hearings, is that on Zoom just like everything else?
Right. It sure will be. And I wanted to add real quick here.
Yeah, go ahead.
A good friend of mine is in the hospital with this horrible virus, and she had just said on Facebook, please, everybody, give for the blood plasma, because she believes that's what saved her life. So when you have the chance, please do that.
An excellent call, Marty, and please wear your mask and please be safe and so you don't end up in the hospital and you don't end up with any of that. So again, please, everybody, be personally responsible for your own stuff. We'll get caught up next Wednesday as the tax dollar turns here on WGCL.
You stay well.
You too, Marty. Thank you. Marty Hawk, County Councilwoman, joins us every Wednesday just after 4:05.